Hey, Mugwarts. Welcome to Wormwood and Witches,
a podcast all about the strange and unusual.
Tally
and Erica invite witches and weirdos from all backgrounds to the conversation of the mystic and divine.
Come fly with us on this journey as we explore ritual, magic, and the peculiar.
Hosted by Anchor, you can find us on all of your favorite streaming platforms.
You can also find us on Facebook at Wormwood and Witches Podcast or Instagram at Wormwood and Witches.
Hello.
Hey there.
Let me make sure my microphone's good to go. Okay. This is Wormwood and Witches.
Oh my goodness. Do we have an actual hello?
We are professional. We're professional over here. Professional podcasters. I'm Erica.
And I'm Tally.
And we're here to enliven your week with
We're here to enliven
fun
your
fun and exciting world of asylum.
We're here to enliven your earbuds.
Yes.
Ooh, that could be a good tagline for us.
Enliven your earbuds, your ear holes, your meat holes.
With crazy shit.
Yes, that is very true.
With
so.
Witchy and with the witchy and the weird.
Ooh, I like that. The witchy and the weird.
Might have to write that down because I'll forget.
I'm like, should I just do it now? Because
yes,
we always talk
should.
About writing it down and then we're like, where was that thing? And we're going through the entire podcast trying to remember what it is.
Exactly.
Witchy from, and the weird.
From professional archaeologist and museum folk. So we know our stuff. So trust us when we speak.
Yeah. Yeah. We know by experience.
Sort of.
Witchy and the weird. So how's it going? You just got back from vacay.
I did.
I'm trying to remember. Hay House,
San Antonio, Texas.
How many people, like rough percentage wise, would you say that you saw in 10 gallon hats?
Only one, and it wasn't a 10 gallon hat. And the elderly gentleman, grandpa age, like up there in age, was just wearing a normal cowboy hat in the Denver airport headed to San Antonio.
Mm.
I did a sly, stealthy photo and sent it to you. I was like, well,
you're just like, for you.
you can tell the Texas flight by the hat.
Who's going home?
But, you know, San Antonio isn't like, I mean, it is, but it isn't.
Is it like Austin?
No. But
I was like, isn't Austin like the weird Boulder of?
Yeah, it is.
Of Texas.
They wear the Birkenstocks. They're the Birkenstocks of Texas. Austin is.
How many cowboy boots did you see?
Ooh, now that's the question. Quite a few. Too many.
Go down to the boot barn, get yourself some boots.
I should have worn my handmade Alvey's boots from Austin, but I wore Birkenstocks.
I was like, do you get kicked out if you like wear stuff made from Austin elsewhere in Texas? They're like, I know where those boots are made. Get out of here, you vermin.
Some goddamn hippie made those boots.
And then you amp it up by
Birkenstocks. I did. I wore Birkenstocks. But, you know, hey, it was hot. It was hot, humid. My skin loved it.
Now you're back here in dry ass Colorado.
Dried up, nosebleeds. Yes, oh but I God. Had a great time. There was, I don't know, 12 or 15 of us gal pals, some since elementary, some since high school, some people I haven't seen since high school. And we all got together for Depeche Mode.
Hell yeah.
It was great, y'all.
How was it? How was the concert?
It was really good. It was fab. You're gonna have a great time in November. And I looked at ticket prices because I might go again. I mean, especially since it's in November, that's like, a year away, it feels like.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And tickets were cheaper because at the time they were only supposed to, there was only like five tour dates. And so everybody, yeah. So the tickets were insane. It was a sold out show. It was great. Now, I will, for anyone who is going to go see them that's listening, be in your seat by before 8:45. They come on at 8:45.
Like
So,
they're not joking around when they're
no.
like, the doors open, then the show starts at this time.
Yeah, it was
Be
right
there.
on. It was right on. So, definitely be in
Because
your
both of
seats.
them are like, we're old
Yeah.
and this is going to be a long show and performing is hard work. So we got to be in bed by a normal hour. Thank
Well, I
you.
mean, it ended at 11 or whatever, like a normal the normal time. So they came on a little earlier, but I mean, it they were on, so we were scrambling to get to our seats because we thought that we still had 15 minutes. We did not.
Yeah.
So yeah,
So
so during
be
the
there
first,
on time.
yeah, during the first song, we're like, "Excuse me, pardon me, sorry, sorry." Yeah, getting to our seats, but it was really great. The highlight was seeing a person that I haven't seen in a really, really long time. And she has lived overseas for the last 20 years. So we went during like a bathroom kind of break when they were playing a like a new song, and we were like, eh, let's go to the bathroom and say hi. But that was like all we could, that's all we were able to do for the weekend. So we just couldn't get it
Damn.
together, but it was really great to see her. So that like that's my witchy woo for a while.
That's cool. And you
It
said
was
you got
fun.
to see like also your old neighborhood too.
Yeah, so I stayed with a friend of mine who moved back into our old neighborhood, and I walked from, and she's just basically bought a house a block from the house that she grew up in. So, I went to see if I could remember how to walk from her house to my old house.
Would you?
I needed Google Maps. I mean, I would have eventually found it, but it's definitely, I haven't been back to my house in, I mean,
I mean,
probably
I'm
just as
sure
long.
things have changed quite a bit.
A little bit. There was, it's an old neighborhood. And so once I got on one of the more recognizable main streets, I was like, oh, now I know where I am. But it was, there was a moment where I was like, do I really need Google Maps to walk to my house?
Somebody's like coming out and they're like, this old lady with dementia is lost. No,
No.
I'm just trying to find my home.
She's wearing Birkenstocks. Don't trust her. I'm just trying to find my childhood home. That makes me
They're
sad.
just taking your hand and patting it, like,
Yeah.
it's okay.
Sure,
They're there.
dear.
We'll get you back home where you need to be. I'm so
Exactly.
sorry if somebody can also hear my dog squeaking.
Oh, can't hear her. Can't hear a pip squeak. Oh, pip squeak. I can't hear the pip squeak.
Hipperino.
So what's your witchy woo?
That I actually got to garden in
Woo.
75 degree weather and it was
No,
sunny
in
and warm and not
shorts.
windy. And I was, yeah, I so I have to send in my chacos to get resold, but I thought to myself, I gotta bust these suckers out because it is literally too hot for closed-toed shoes.
Yeah.
And so it is the small glimpse of summer that we have this week, and I'm very excited.
Yes.
So I think that's, I'm like, what else happened this weekend? Oh, Dan and I also went to go see a his coworker, is a space nerd by day and guitarist by night for the 90s
Oh.
cover band Goldilocks. And they're really good. It was just hours of basically karaoke and it was awesome. And
That's
so
fun.
that was a lot of fun.
And Jesus was there.
And Jesus was there because it was Easter Sunday and I totally forgot about it. And Jesus is just out there with his little drinky drink and
Just
grooving.
vibing to 90s cover bands. And then, of course, there's, you know, Rage Against the Machine that comes on. They covered Rage Against the Machine. I was like, hell yeah, let's go.
Oh, wow. That always gets the crowd going. A little rage.
Yeah. I was like, it's kind of like hot temperature and also energy wise right now. We need to calm it down. We're all screaming, fuck you. Do what you tell me. And I'm like, yep.
And
Down,
everyone.
down with. Down with the patriarchy and down with the government, apparently.
Followed up by Enya after that
Yeah.
song. Bring the
She's
house
like
back down.
The lead singer who, or one of the lead singers who's a female. She's like, we gotta bring it down.
Yeah.
I was like, what is it? We don't need the 90s Woodstock happening right
Oh,
now.
right. Yeah. Especially with everybody's pent up strange anger. So
It's crazy right now.
it's crazy out there, folks. Don't leave the house. Speaking of not leaving the
Seriously.
house, should we get into
Solitary confinement.
Yeah. Oh, but before,
Let's.
well, maybe you, I don't know. I do want to say a blurb because I kind of feel bad. Well, I know you do too about these places. So,
Yes.
like, we're not making fun of those places at all or any
No.
of the, like, we don't do that anyway, but just there's just such a, I don't know, obsession, it seems almost, with haunted asylums that people forget that those places were really
caused a
horrific.
lot of harm, deep
Yeah.
harm, and
Yeah.
trauma for a lot of people who
Yeah.
were also not mentally ill. And
Right.
I'll kind of get into a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So
So I just wanted to say, like,
that's a good
before
disclaimer.
anybody is, you know, why are you promoting it or whatever? We are, but we aren't, I guess. Yeah, we are, with the acknowledgement of these places harbor that kind of energy because of the horrible things that took place to mostly innocent people. So without further ado.
And also just to show how broken our healthcare system is.
Yeah.
So,
Still.
So first off, all right. So yes, we are talking about sanitariums, which I was telling Callie earlier when we were chatting. I did not realize that there's a difference between sanatorium or with an O. That's where basically people in the past used to go to die of tuberculosis, unfortunately, or potentially get cured of it. But, you know, your chances were not
most
great.
likely died. Yeah.
Yeah. Sanitarium with an A, started off, I feel like, kind of as the rich people's like health retreat spas in the late 1800s, where I'm like, I feel like Victorian Gwyneth Paltrow would definitely have gone here with her yoni egg and everything else. And she's like, smell my candle that smells like my vagina. So, and after hearing her talk about some weird, you know, intravenous vitamins she gets, I just thought to myself, yep, this would be her for sure.
That was spot on.
But unfortunately, it also divulged into where families were able to either try and get their family members help or also just dump their family members because they didn't have any means necessary to help them. So I did not know that there was a difference between the two. And now I know. The more you know, it's great. Knowledge is power. Okay, so while mine is not necessarily haunted, it definitely has a crazy train ride. Just like you went back to Tejas, your home state, I was like, what does Arizona have? And so it wasn't necessarily that I was able to find like a lot of interesting sanitariums that, you know, were haunted and whatnot, but
the more I delved deeper into this particular one, I was like, wow, this is really fucked up. And it's interesting because this has such a long history of abuse and also even into current day. That's what I found crazy
Ooh.
about it.
Oh.
So originally, before Arizona became a state, which Happy Valentine's Day, 1912, that is Arizona's birthday, it was a territory. And so at this time, they sent their mentally ill patients to California for help. And it took 14 years for the territory to decide to build a facility in Phoenix, which is the capital of Arizona. And it was interesting because it was actually a toss-up between Phoenix and Tucson. And they decided, okay, well, Phoenix is where the insane asylum's gonna go. Tucson, you can get the state's university, the first
Oh,
university
wow.
of Arizona. So
Somebody
that's,
paid somebody more money.
yeah. So the 13th Territorial Legislature met in Prescott in 1885, and they agreed for $100,000 that they would build this Arizona Territorial Insane Asylum in Phoenix and buy some land and construct the buildings. So finally, on January 15th of 1881, the Insane Asylum of Arizona officially opened its doors to patients. They were able to accommodate 280 patients, but when they first opened, it was originally like only like 60 folks. And I will say they have a lovely timeline on their website because it's still a current operating hospital today and also
Oh.
detention center.
Oh no.
What we're talking about, criminally insane people. So in 1911, a fire broke out in Building D, which significantly damaged the building and surrounding structures. But luckily, staff and patients were able to be evacuated. And nobody died, which is good, but not necessarily means that there's the creation of ghosts. So, but yay for people getting out safely
What
and people
year was
caring for
this?
other people.
Right.
1911.
Oh, before Arizona was a state. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So it was the Arizona Territorial Insane Asylum at this
Okay.
time.
Okay.
So then Arizona becomes a state. There's a name change. And then finally, in 1924, the hospital finally changed to the name that they have now, and rebranded basically to Arizona State Hospital, or ASH for short. I found it interesting while I was going through all of their documents, too, that they apparently have on their website, of that they have like annual reports. Like
Whoa.
even dating back to like the day that it was like when it was like the territorial insane asylum. But I so they date all the way back to its inception of 1881, but they essentially cover interesting statistics. So males usually outnumbered females. For example, I looked at specifically the 1911 to 1912 annual report. So there were only like of the population there was only 22% that made of females, which was interesting to me because I was mostly thinking that a lot of women were probably hospitalized there, quote unquote, hospitalized there for like mania and whatnot and
For having
hysteria.
period cramps,
Yeah. But
or their
surprisingly,
husband didn't want
I
them
get
anymore.
exactly. They're like, just lobotomize her, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I guess I was actually really surprised by that. And they talked about the percentage that there was actually very few that were discharged. Most people
Sure.
died in the facility, and they listed out all the ailments that people suffered from. And I had to go on a Googling spree because I was like,
Ooh.
what is most of this stuff?
Oh,
I was
really?
like, really? So Most people suffered from secondary dementia. I was like, what do you mean secondary dementia? Isn't there just dementia?
Okay.
But it's dementia that's already brought on, like, because you have like a like it's like periphery, basically. Like, you already have like a mental cognitive disorder. So it's like accentuated because of that, like your memory and everything.
Okay.
Or your memory loss. Other honorable mentions were acute mania, which is bipolar, melancholia, depression, which I love that you just like just stick Enid in the insane asylum because she feels manically sad sometimes.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed that there was feeble-minded, imbecility, sexual pervert,
Oh no.
and apparently this year there was they listed eight individuals were noted as not insane. So I was like, then why are you here in
Right.
an insane asylum if you're not, if you don't
Huh.
have something
Right.
mentally going on? So
Right.
I don't know the answer to that. So
That's interesting.
yeah, I sometimes wonder because these were like sanitariums that they were like there to help people who couldn't be cared for by their family members for
Yeah.
one reason or another. That would be my assumption.
I think my uncle is in one of those, but he might not
Like
be.
assisted facility type places
Yeah.
where,
But like
yeah.
not a hospital, but I don't know. I should probably ask. It sounded like.
I should probably ask, do you get to see sunlight? Are you sure you're okay? Nobody
Well,
is harming you?
yeah, I would have. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
That sounded very like wavering on
Yeah. It's
like,
a whole thing.
oh God. About to get a deep dive into Tally's family. So I saw a report that the Arizona Historical Society said that so they essentially keep building on to this complex, the on Ash, the Arizona State Hospital. And so there's one part of the hospital that seems to have been that has more ghostly activity, which is the prison complex or the flamenco unit. And this is basically the Department of Corrections, where there's 105 bed psychiatric beds that were built in 1985, and only 20 beds for women in 1990. I thought that was kind of interesting. And the building license to the Department of Corrections is dated back to the earlier part of the 20th century, and people who've worked there reported ghostly activity occurring after nightfall. At that, once patients are secured in their rooms, often guards will hear sounds of keys rattling when there's no other guards on staff or around. Doors kind of have a mind of their own, and that there are ghostly patients counted among the living. And then just kind of mysteriously disappear. And that apparently there's one ghost who does not disappear during this time, and she's just a woman kind of lurking around in the women's library. Because they built this Department of Corrections, and like they said, it dates back to the earlier part of the 20th century, there is a I say quote unquote famous because I did not know about her, but apparently her story was very sensational, and she was actually sent to Ash to basically live out her sentence. But while haunting for good reason, there is Winnie Ruth Dillon, who is housed there. And she was born in January of 1905 and died October of 1998. And she was a medical secretary in Phoenix, Arizona, and was accused of murdering her friends, Agnes Ann Leroy and Hedvig Samuelson, in October of 1931. This is pretty brutal. So the murders were discovered when Judd transported the victims' bodies, one of which had been dismembered, from Phoenix to Los Angeles by train in trunks and other luggage. So she chopped these victims up into bits and put them in trunks and luggage and put them on a train. And this got the name of the trunk murders. And Judd allegedly committed the murders to win over the affections of Jack Halloran, who is a prominent Phoenix businessman. Judd was tried for Leroy's murder and found guilty and originally sentenced to death, but however, they repealed that because they found her mentally incompetent. And she was committed to the Arizona State Asylum for the Insane, which again was later renamed to Arizona State Hospital. Although that was in 1924 that they came up with that name. So don't know why they make it like interchangeable since these happened in 1931. But anyways, over the next 3 decades, Judd escaped from the asylum 6 times.
What?
6 times. How does somebody escape from an institution 6 times? I feel like if you escape from prison even once, you're lucky enough.
Right.
So, I don't
Wow.
know. After her final escape during the 1960s, she remained at large for over 6 years and worked under an
What?
assumed name for a wealthy family.
Oh my gosh. So it wasn't even just like she got out and then they caught her. Oh my gosh. What, I mean, like,
6 years. Like,
high
I feel
five to her for doing that, unless she murdered that
Like I would
family.
question this
The
facility.
facility, yeah.
I'm like, are
Wow.
you sure that you can handle this many patients?
So then they, I mean, obviously they find her.
Yeah, and she was ultimately paroled in 1971 and discharged from parole in 1983. So,
What? So you,
yeah.
so she's still got good behavior?
She also
Like,
got out.
got out
So that's
for
her, but that
wow.
was her story kind of in a nutshell.
Wow, that's wild.
So that just kind of lets a key insight into the criminally insane portion. But we can also get into, again, as Tally had mentioned, like all the terrible things that have happened to people while at these, residing in these facilities is lobotomies. So, which when I looked up information about lobotomies, they're not banned. They like the I didn't even realize that the US was still allowing them into the 19 what like the 1980s.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Now. And so, but maybe that's because I've learned that there's different types of lobotomies and other things. And anyways, but
It's just
the
a
first,
little lobotomy. It's fine.
it's
Just a
fine.
small one.
If you turn into a potato, isn't ignorance bliss?
I guess.
I have no idea. But
Awful.
the first performed lobotomy was in 1935 by Egis Moniz. Manus, and then Walter Jackson Freeman was like, yeah, like this is a great idea. Let's
Let's run
continue
with
to
it.
do this.
That's
Let's run with it. Or
Jesus.
let people not run with it, I guess,
Like,
in a certain,
right.
within a certain sense. But basically, lobotomies involve severing the nerve connections between the frontal lobe and other regions of the brain to reduce agitation, anxiety, and other symptoms of mental health conditions. Sometimes I feel like maybe I need a
Yeah,
lobotomy.
I was like, that doesn't sound, that sounds fine.
You want to learn how to calm your ass down? Just get a lobotomy. It's fine.
Yeah.
And that there's different types of lobotomy. So now there's It's funny. I always practice these words in my head and I'm like, yeah, I can say that. And then when I actually have to verbally say it out loud, I'm like, maybe I don't.
Same.
Prophectomy, which is when a
Oh,
surgeon
yeah.
actually removes parts of the frontal lobe,
Right.
which I feel like that's never a good idea.
No, you kind of want to keep all of your brain intact.
Really?
Just a slightly, just a little bit.
A little bit. There's leucotomy, leucotomy, which is or leucotomy, which is when a surgeon severs connections between the frontal lobe and the thalamus. And then finally, there's neuroinjection or sclerosing agents, in which a surgeon injects drugs that harden the fibers connecting the frontal lobes to the thalamus. So,
Jeez.
and it was interesting while I was again Googling like Arizona State Hospital and lobotomies that somebody posted on this person's like, granted, it's Facebook, so take it for like a grain of salt, if you will. But they were, this person's post was talking about just lobotomies in general. And this person in the comments section said, the last lobotomy at Arizona State Hospital was in 1966. And I was working with a patient who was going through ECT or electric convulsion therapy that is still being practiced. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh,
I don't know. It just all seems, I know that probably some of these, what I gather was that some of these like medical procedures, even though they're still practiced today, they've become slightly more safe, but it just still
wow.
seems like cruel and unusual punishment, having known the dark history, I feel like, of a lot of these places.
Yeah, it almost just feels like it's a way to,
Torture people, to be
well.
honest.
Well, yes, but also a way to not have to deal with them if they lash out.
Yeah.
So this way they are incomplete, like they can't do anything. So now you just have a body there, which doesn't
Yeah,
really
which
make
I
sense to me either,
had
but
read that some of them do like improve mood and not necessarily make like a person a complete potato, but I feel like more often than not, it was probably not.
I mean, isn't that why they invented Prozac? Like, why are we still doing lobotomies? That doesn't make any sense.
Have no idea.
Boy. That just went down a dark
And
path.
I know. Well, I feel like this entire episode is going to
Yeah.
be a nice dark path.
I know. I was like, how can I lighten this up a little bit?
I don't think we can.
No.
So at I it was again interesting finding documents about Ash, and I came across this one document in the 1940s that talks about it's the basically the for the hospital is calling out Dr. Larson, who was the superintendent at the time in 1949. And basically they take the superintendent to court because he's not proving that he can manage the hospital and that he's got antiquated practices. And basically, he's a real piece of shit guy. He kind of like threatens staff and, you know, disregards family members who want to visit their loved ones, and just kind
Oh.
of seems to have like a weird ego complex, but not that weird. So in this report, the board is saying, here's like all the things that we have done to help our patients. We've installed these multiple contraptions, of which, so there's hydrotherapy, insulin, metrazole, and malaria treatments, which malaria I know is like used for basically people who had been diagnosed with syphilis, because there's syphilitic insanity. Like if you let syphilis, it like will go to the brain. It's
Right,
crazy.
right.
And so they're like, we've put in electric shock treatments by buying an electric shock machine. We've increased the number of hydrotherapy tubs, which are these like encasing like hubs basically, where you like force people to like get into like hot water and let them like it's supposed to help them calm down,
That
which
sounds
I took a
amazing.
bath last night and I made it way too fucking hot. And
Oh.
if I could not like wipe the sweat from my brow,
Oh,
I
yeah.
think I would be driven nuts. This would be a form of torture. And I like
Oh,
hot
yeah.
water,
That's
man.
not okay. But like a hot bath sounds great.
Yeah, hot bath is always nice, especially when you have cake and wine.
Yeah. Yes.
There's the metabolism apparatus, which was also installed. It just like it's basically like a machine that like helps. None of these like contraptions that they actually installed like seem very
To work.
torturous, I should say. It's just like a contraption that goes over the mouth and like takes in the gas, so that way it can realize like it like computes like your basal metabolic rate and all kinds of stuff. So
Interesting.
there what these seem like torture devices to me a
Yeah.
little bit. There's the inductotherm and infrared lights that were introduced, which are also known as fever cabinets. So they would put you like basically it looked like an iron lung,
Oh
and
my God.
you would use like induction heat to increase your body temperature to induce basically a fever so you would sweat out toxins. I'm like,
Lord.
that sounds like people would die of heat stroke, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's the electrocardiograph, which is basically an EKG. They installed an operating table, which how nice of them. And then an encephalograph, which was purchased, which is similar to an MRI. But so basically the board was like, yo, we like purchased all these new fancy pieces of equipment and stuff like that, and all Dr. Larson is capable of is in all his ineptness of managing this institution are lobotomies and penicillin, which were very like, I don't know, at least the board saw it as like
Not
not a good
doing,
way to conduct
yeah,
therapy on their patients. So
right.
light at some tunnel somewhere.
We have these torture devices instead that we can use.
How shiny they are.
We.
And so in this document, they have letters, like tons of letters. It was very interesting to read of family members and other people and staff who had resigned, basically complaining about this guy. And there was a mother who had written a letter to the one of the board members and had talked about how she got her daughter lobotomized, which I was trying to figure, like Google, like why did she get her daughter lobotomized, but I couldn't find anything. And they were like, hey, we'll let you know how your daughter's lobotomy goes. Come in at like, whatever it was, like 10 a.m. and we'll meet you in the waiting room and we'll let you know. And she has to wait there all day, and nobody, she keeps asking around, like, did the procedure go okay or whatever? And Dr. Larson just like totally dismisses her essentially and makes her come back later that evening and then
What?
gives her the update. Yeah. Like, so basically, family members were kept in the dark about how, like, it'd be like not knowing how surgery, it was
Right.
not knowing how surgery went, essentially, which is shitty.
And
And then
probably the mom, because this is what years, 40s, 50s. So
like 1949, yeah.
it's probably a lovesick teenager having normal hormonal emotions. And the mom is like some strict fucking church going
Her name
hard
was Edna,
nose.
so I would not be surprised.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, you've got the sex crazed devil in you. I'm gonna lobotomize you. And like,
Yeah.
how awful. How awful.
I was like, what did you do to Joan? Which was her daughter's name. So yeah, I was like trying to like figure it out.
Did they
And
find, was there any, that's it? No. Was she okay? Did she come out of it? Nobody
they,
knows.
I think that she was fine. Like nothing, like she didn't die or anything. Like
Huh.
it was the
Okay.
lobotomy went fine. And then there was like another letter of this woman talking about her son wanting to take her son named Hugh out for a ride. Basically, she goes on to say like how it's torturous and cruel punishment of what they're doing to her son, that she wants to basically take him out for a ride. In the car and get him out
Which you
of
know
the
that she's,
hospital and return him like at the end like of
and
the
she should
ride.
be able to do that. Plus, she's probably paying, I'm assuming she's paying the place to have him in there, which is
Yeah.
also wild to me, is like, I'm paying for this facility to stay open. I can take my child or whoever out
Whenever I
whenever I
damn
want.
please.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's weird.
And she goes on to talk about how this poor kid had been in there since he was like, I think he was like 13 when she wrote this letter. And he had been put in this facility when he was 8. And
Oh.
they continued to deprive him of sunshine. And she's like trying to advocate for him to like,
Jeez.
hey, could you build like this, like, offshoot cage thing so that he can get some sunlight, and he ends up developing tuberculosis
Sure.
because of this.
On top
And
of who, whatever else, unfortunate things, you know, all the
yeah.
trauma from that.
And so basically she's calling out like the hospital and Dr. Larson as well, who kept dismissing her, that like this is like cruel and unusual punishment, which I'm also like, why don't you just fucking take your kid out of there? But
Yeah.
I guess if it's to date, I think it's the only like state funded mental hospital for this area for Phoenix. So,
Oh, so they're not really paying to be in there. So that's why
it's
they're
state
treated like
funded,
shit.
but still, like, I don't
Yeah.
know. Like, I feel like there's like, you would probably be able to give some form of money to then
Right.
get exceptional care or something. I have no idea. So yeah, so I couldn't find out like what actually happened. I think Dr. Larson ended up resigning and stuff finally. But he put up a hissy fit. It was interesting that they didn't mention him on the website whatsoever. I was like, who were your past superintendents? And I was like, for a timeline history of everything else, you don't have that
It
much
kind of
information. They're like, we need to bury this.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I'll talk about is that even these like dark things have continued on today. So even the present day, the hospital has some happening. So even on October 20th, 2021, Philip
Oi.
Ronan left art class to go use the restroom and never returned. And he was working on his stamp scrapbook and he left with a pair of scissors. So he's like, I have to go to the bathroom. And when he didn't show up, hospital staff members went to knock on the door. He replied, quote unquote, I have diarrhea. I don't feel good. I'll be out in a little while. And still, then, when he did not emerge, another staff member knocked several times and announced that they were coming in. And then they found him, of course, laying on the floor, face down, with large amounts of blood on the floor,
Oh.
the sink, and all over the room, with the scissors on the floor next to him. So apparently he committed suicide and stabbed or sliced his neck. They did apparently try to save him with a crash cart, but it didn't work. And he was 62, unfortunately. He wasn't that old. And it started calling out this article, essentially, that there was this person, and then there was Mark Chavez, who choked after forcing a burrito down his throat, apparently. And that nobody, like the staff saw it, but did nothing to help him. And so he was only 54. So the incidents raised questions about, the lack of hospital oversight and like there's constant understaffing and inadequate employee training. And, people just like if they saw somebody choking, they just didn't care, what the fuck is happening? Or like you let like a patient leave with fucking scissors in their hands now. And so I guess Ronan was actually pretty depressed because he was supposed to get transferred to like a different facility. He had committed murder in like, I don't know, 2006 or something like that.
This is the one with the scissors.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was getting his like pills or whatever at the time, and his friend heard him overheard one of his poems he was reciting that he wrote himself. And so I thought it was really sad, his poem. So I was gonna read it. When our existence is at stake, how will we know which road to take? It seems that there are these roads to choose, only one which we won't lose. Perhaps we will ask the stars above to come and save us with their love, or we'll go to the other worlds beyond to save us from this world we have wronged. I just thought that was really sad that like they didn't even like pay attention enough to like help him or anything. And like even his like friends within the system were like, yeah, he was sad and depressed because he didn't get his transfer and all these other things were supposed to happen. So mine's not necessarily uber, obviously uber haunted or anything. It just talks about the shittiness, like the shitty environments that, these people had to endure, essentially.
Okay, so I thought that you might have done this one, but you didn't. So, whew, because we didn't know each other's stories and
We're trying to surprise each other.
we're really good at picking the same ones. So, I was like, uh-oh, and then you didn't. But you
It
came
was
close.
really actually, it was really hard to actually choose. Like there were several others that I was just intrigued by, but then I was like, do I do this? Do I not do this? Do I want to go a little bit of a different route? So it's
So,
hard. Like there's a lot to
yeah,
choose from,
the,
unfortunately.
unfortunately, yeah. So I chose because I was trying to find any type of witchy type, knowing, anything like
Ooh.
that that related to that. I do have one that I may or may not talk about. That's my second one, just depending. But I stumbled upon Danvers State Hospital in
Ooh.
Danvers, Massachusetts. So, which is where the witch thing comes in. So, Danvers State Hospital sits atop 500 acres on Hawthorne Hill in Danvers, Massachusetts. Boston's about 18 miles south of there. It was built in 1874, where the Salem witch trials judge John Hawthorne once lived.
Ah.
Yeah, and this hill, it's massive. If you Google Danvers State Hospital, it's absolutely gorgeous, gigantic Gothic style architecture that sits on top of this hill. So the hill is a 257 feet high glacial drumlin. Which is a drumlin is just like an oval shape caused by glacier movement. So it's basically a hill. It's a glacial hill.
Interesting. It
Yeah,
sounds like this is where Dracula would ha
I
like
mean,
hang out or something.
if Dracula builds a state hospital asylum, this would be it because it gets even better. So the village, the place, which is now Hawthorne Hill, Danvers, Massachusetts, was originally called Salem Village until it changed its name in 1752. So this massive Gothic facility was meant to be self-sustaining, where they cook everything, everybody lives there, the staff lives there, they have their own water, and supposedly, I didn't get a chance to look, that from the air, it looks like a bat. I know.
Ooh,
I want to
it's
look.
definitely Dracula's lair, and then he's like, okay, this is a good way for me to just drain the blood from like a bunch
Everybody.
of people.
Yeah. It so in its time, it cost $1.5 million to make. And this is, it was being built in 1874. So I tried looking up how much that would be in today's money. And it was something like, I don't know. I saw two numbers, so I don't know what I did wrong. One was like 23 million, and another one was like 66 million. Either way, it was a lot of money. I mean,
Oh my God.
$1.5 million in 1874. That's just insane.
Yeah. Coming
So
in with the mom jokes hard.
the first patients moved in about 4 years later in 1878, and at its peak, the facility had 40 buildings and maxed out.
Jesus.
Yeah, but it, and it says it maxes out at 450 patients, but it looks like you could house a lot more. Just from the massive size of it. And of course, it was supposed to be a facility where they would cure them, but we know that that's not how that goes. So it was very popular. It got popular really, really quickly. So instead of housing 450 patients, it housed 2,000 patients, like almost within, I don't know, 15 years of them being open.
Oh, good. So, overcrowding with
Overcrowded.
people who are not
Already,
stable is a
right.
great sign.
Already in a bad place. So, of course, there were instances all the time of patients walking through the hallways naked. They're just in their own filth because they don't, they're not getting basic hygiene. Then shock therapy treatments and straitjackets became the norm, trying to, suppress them any way they could. And if they really acted up, they would just throw them in a straitjacket and throw them into a room and just not care about them anymore.
Yeah.
But when all of that failed, lobotomies started. And
I just think of like that, what is it? Mostly like the ice pick kind of through the
yeah.
eye socket type of
Oh,
thing.
right.
Like that's
Oof.
usually what how I imagine
Picture
them,
it.
but I know that they were probably slightly at least more medically professional at that point, but
It
fuck.
still doesn't matter. So now it's 1939, so they've been open a while, and the Danvers State Hospital became the birthplace of the prefrontal lobotomy.
Ah, as
Yeah.
we have learned just a little bit ago.
Right.
Oh my God.
And then also in that same year, 1939, the hospital grew, the patients grew to 2,360 people. And in
Still
that,
with only like 400 rooms or whatever.
yeah. And in that same year, 278 people died.
Damn, this is making the the ash facility coming out smelling like a rose.
A little bit. So portions of the Danvers State Hospital were shut down in 1969, and most of it closed by 1985. And in 1992, it permanently shut down.
And it's still standing, the building is still standing today?
Portions of it. So in 2005, a development company bought the property, tore down some portions of the buildings, renovated it, and turned it into apartments. Oh my
gosh. If you
could
only see my face.
Your face was priceless, because that was probably the same face I made when I read that. Would you want to live in the Avalon Danvers apartments? Fuck no, I would not.
I like how we're like,
yeah.
Oh no. That is like the roller coaster of face emotions. Right?
Yeah. Like, not even close would I want, especially since portions of the original building still exist, you know, like it doesn't even matter. It's just, first of all, the Salem witch trials, it's already got bad juju around it for a long time. And you're just adding to the pile.
I just got chills.
Yeah.
It's just like, no.
Yeah, no, not like absolutely not. There was construction delays in 2007. There was a mysterious fire that broke out, that and trailers burned, parts of that building burned. So just like it's already starting on a bad note. Some remnants of the Danvers State Hospital that's still there are gravestones in two cemeteries nearby, which contain 770 bodies of the victims. I mean, I want to call them, patients, the victims that were there. And there, it's just some gravestones, just a couple gravestones. Some have names, most don't have anything. Some have a number.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So this Danvers State Hospital is said to be the inspiration for H.P. Lovecraft's Arkham Sanatorium. And apparently that's also a reference to where the Joker from Batman was in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting tidbit of pop culture.
Yeah. And a horror movie that came out in 2001 called Session 9 was filmed there.
Huh.
And it's about an insane asylum.
Well, now I'm going to go watch that horror movie.
I wondered if
for
you'd
sure.
Seen it. Yeah. So people who visit report screaming, banging, crying. And then, of course, the cemeteries that house the 770 bodies say that they see apparitions in black, black and gray, blay, black and grayish type.
A new word.
Yeah. The blay figures roam the property. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of information, but I was just like,
that's nuts.
You guys can Google it. There's a shit ton of stuff on, and definitely take a look at the building, because it's gorgeous. For
that's
an
crazy.
Unfortunate, it's a beautiful building, but not a beautiful place.
So the screaming, is that people who also just live there in those apartments? They're like, yeah, I hear screaming all the time.
I would like to know that information. I would imagine so.
I mean, it's gotta be.
You can't be.
It's on the grounds.
Yeah.
You can't be that far from structures that are still standing,
right,
that are part of the original sanitarium. Again,
yeah.
Which really bugs me that they're labeled as sanitarium, being these health centers and whatnot. get better and take care of
Yeah.
your body. Your body is a temple, blah, 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 blah. And then, really, again, as we had mentioned, it just divulges into overcrowding. You only have 400 some odd rooms. Let's just squish 2,000 people in there and it's fine.
It's
It's fine. It
totally
doesn't matter if
fine.
they're coated in their own feces and
Who
dying of.
cares? Feces, schmeeces.
That is insane. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. So the other one that I wanted to talk about a little quickie, is we're gonna travel, we're gonna get in our travel machine and go to
Hello.
Scotland.
Hello.
All
That's what it
right.
sounds like.
Yeah, so we're in Scotland now. Again,
Ooh.
trying to find something witchy related, and I kind of did. So
Ooh.
there's a lot of history. I mean, it's freaking Scotland, so it goes back way, way back.
Yeah.
And I started to get into all that, and I was like, oh my gosh, we'll be here all night. So
You're like, I gotta pull my head out of the rabbit hole right now.
I gotta wake up at 5 a.m. tomorrow. I don't have time for this. So you can Google it yourself. But the Darlington, I hope I'm saying that right. Darlington.
I'm like, say it with your thickest I like Scottish accent you can.
Darlington Castle. So the Darlington Castle, now I can't say it, in East Lothian, Scotland, probably not that at all. Anyway, in Scotland, was a medieval fortress that dates back to the 13th century and later became a prison for people accused of witchcraft.
Jesus.
Yes.
So, like, good job healing people. Now get in the cell.
Oh, worse than a cell. So, between basically just for 1 year, between 1649 and 1650, at the height of the witchcraft, satanic panic, six condemned women were held at the medieval castle's pit prison, where they lived
What?
their last days before brutal executions, being which included being strangled and being burnt to death. So they were
Jesus.
housed in a pit. So it's like this metal grid down at the basement of the castle. And so it's cold, it's dark, it's wet. They're
It's
not.
a grid, like, so there's like space beneath them, like it's like
So you could see,
met
yeah.
and
Yeah, so like somebody could walk by and I don't know, throw something in there.
Oh,
So
gotcha.
they're
Okay.
underneath that grid.
I see that. Oh my God. What the fuck is wrong with people?
I don't know. So John Kincaid, the notorious witch finder, he said that he saw devil's marks upon their bodies, which we all know is bullshit.
Yeah. They're like, hey, asshole, it's a birthmark.
Yeah, I was like, I have two on
Calm
my
down.
body. I have two. Do you have any?
Birthmarks? No. I have like
Oh, so you're not really a witch then? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like they're not moles. What are they? Like circles? I don't know.
Okay.
I'm really a birth maybe it's a I don't
I have
know. There's
two.
some that have been there the longest that I can
Yeah.
remember, but
Huh. So, one woman, Agnes Clarkson, confessed to witchcraft in 1649 and was interrogated by the church minister at Durlton. Agnes says that she was visited by a ghost of a dead witch who recruited her to continue to carry out the devil's work. And
hell yeah.
she said she, quote, did the dead witch used fearful curses, enticing Agnes to become the devil's servant. But we know now that tactics to get those confessions out of people included sleep deprivation and, torture. So,
When you're already delusional, man, if I don't get fucking even like 8 hours of sleep, I'm delusional.
right. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm seeing cross-eyed and I have a headache and it's just like, you know what? Fine. Yep. I saw the devil came into my dreams. Like, that's fine. Just burn me now.
Just permeate and just get it over with. End this.
So, adding further hysteria, the townspeople would say that they saw a large shadow man appear on the grassy lawn beneath the castle, in June of 1649 during the trials, believing that that was the devil himself trying to call on to these witches.
Icky.
Really icky. So then some hauntings. So like electronic equipment has been known to malfunction, especially near the Pitt prison. Many visitors believe that, that that's where they're all trapped, of course, and they're pissed, and I would believe that too. I mean, they're getting tortured. So there's been unexplained cold spots and feeling uneasy, and that somebody is standing behind them when nobody's actually there, or that they feel like they're being watched. So the castle has gone through many wars and things like that.
It's seen its time.
It has seen its time. So a lot of it is in ruins. However, you can still tour it.
Oh my
So,
God.
yeah.
Dark tourism with Scotland. Let's go.
I was like, I would totally go there. And looking at those photos, it's pretty cool. Like the castle, the parts that's still standing are just amazing. So, so that's really all I got out of that.
That's crazy. Those poor women.
I know. I think
Ugh.
there was out of the six, I had all of their names, but again, I was like tired.
That's
One,
fair.
I don't know if he was, there was one man accused. Could have been number seven, or he could have been part of the six, but it was a married couple. And this John Kincaid bastard said that he saw the witch's marks on them. We know that the wife did die, did go into the prison pit and was burned. But it's unclear what happened to the man. So I'm assuming he was off the hook. But John Kincaid, saying that he could find witches and look for the devil's marks and stuff like that, was getting money from. So of course he's gonna point to someone, a poor person or whatever, or a woman, just a random woman, just so he could get money from either the church or, I don't know, townspeople or whoever. So,
That's crazy. Ugh.
This is my story.
It was interesting with this topic. Once you have decided sometimes to choose, oh, this sanitarium or whatever. Trying to figure out, I was trying to Google specifically to like women who were put in there for hysteria, and like Winnie was like the only woman that came up for me. I say it's interesting because it's also erasure of all the trauma that has happened with women, who are like lesbians or
That
have.
was a
Like you
reason to
said,
be in there.
periods or whatever, because you're like mentally insane and stuff.
Like
And
what?
it's interesting with the erasure of it and also essentially what's going on politically right now as well. So I'm just like, oh,
Don't
God.
get me started on that fuckery. Well, even like one of my favorite seasons of American Horror Story was
Season
Asylum.
was so good.
I mean,
It was so good and it's so sad.
it's so sad. I cried at that one because it was just like, this is horror because it's real. Fun, like I'm gonna have nightmares tonight, I feel
I know. I
like.
was like, tonight's not gonna be a good, it wasn't very uplifting,
No, it
so.
wasn't. We need to do something fun next time because I'm all sad now.
We need to do a fun witchy topic. We haven't done a witchy topic in
I
a
know.
while, I
That's why
feel
I
like.
was trying to do something based on that this time around.
On witches. You're like sad, but it includes witches.
But witches and
Like the question mark at
they die. Well, that
the
was good.
end.
Send in your stories. We don't care what it is. It could be about your gardening adventure.
Yeah, I'm like, can I call out people that I've heard stories from lately, like, to publicly call them out and be like, send in your stories.
Yeah.
Amy, Natalie, Elizabeth, y'all got stories. You send them in. You send them in.
Wormwood and Witches at Gmail.
Do it.
Yeah. Until next time.
Keep gazing into the unknown void that is the pit at the bottom of the castle
of society.
Of society.
Bye.
Bye.